The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Woodbird Theater. We now present Off Book.
Off Book. The improvised musical podcast with Zach and Jess.
Ready, set, Brett. Sucker for the rhyme. Ready, set, Brett. That's the name of my punk band. Welcome, everybody, to Off Book, the Improvised Musical Podcast with Zach and Jess. That one is Zach Reno.
That one's Jessica McKenna. We got Scott Passarella, King of Pianists. Pianist of Kings.
We got Brett Morris, that feeling when the chord hits.
We got Dana Wiggins, the boom in this room on the throne. It is a cajon.
Oh, and you know what else we got?
What? Turning knobs like a mad scientist who things have gone horribly awry.
Are you realizing that you were a little loud? Yeah, you were. It's okay. I thought we could resolve it at the end of the song, but I appreciate it.
Honestly?
You're a pro.
It's such like summertime though.
It's so summertime.
Sometimes it's a little too loud and it's a little too hot.
a nonstick pan.
Ooh, that look
I think
modern.
It's swimming with your friends.
I think it's that coffee book of modern art that you bought at the amusement park. Summertime feeling. Ooh, cowabunga!
Far out, dude.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Zach.
This is so embarrassing. Scott forgot my co-host name and I called her Wayne.
I didn't want to say anything.
It's just the subtlety of you doing slightly not summer things.
Hey, thanks.
A fly that got into this room. I guess bugs are about in the summer. Bugs are about in the summer.
Bugs are about in the summer. Welcome to this fan band episode of Off Book, where we hang out still in Brett and Dana's Airbnb.
Okay, here's what I'll say. We got 4 West Coasters v. 1 East Coaster. And West Coast, Best Coast, of course.
That's an uneven matchup. That's 4v1.
But here's what I'm going to give you, Big D Wick.
Yep.
Here's
Dwick.
One.
That's me.
Dwick. Here's one firmly.
Dwick.
Here's one firm in the East Coast column. Summertime specific. Fireflies, a.k.a. lightning bugs, a.k.a.
Oh,
magic.
Hell yeah.
Best.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
The best. Love.
So amazing. So
nice.
Enchanting. Love them so much. And they're also, they're hanging out in the Midwest. They're hanging out in the Southeast. They're basically just not west of the Rockies, as far as I can tell.
I think like 8 years ago was the first time I ever saw one at a friend's wedding in
North Carolina.
Ooh, was the first time
I know Zach's life. He's talking about Ben and Madeline.
Ben and Madeline's wedding in North Carolina. Wonderful time. Still married. Great job.
Love them.
Married once. Didn't stop.
Love them.
Kept it going.
Love
the streak
them.
Continues unbeaten, undefeated. So it was the first time I ever saw fireflies.
And how did it make you feel?
Would not believe my eyes. I saw some fireflies. But honestly, they think me rude, but I would just stand and stare at these fireflies right before my eyes, flying around everywhere. Who said that a bug was allowed to have a little?
That's
good imagery. Good job, Owl City.
Ooh.
shouted out to the real OGs of Glowing. I would not believe my eyes.
10,000 fireflies. Oh, wow. Oh, guys. Have you seen these fireflies?
You would not believe your eyes when any number of fireflies did what fireflies do.
City.
I assume an owl, but which
owl? I'm saying the one from Winnie the Pooh.
Whose name is Owl?
A titular owl.
Have a
Are you about to say
nominee.
Something?
For I mayor, have a nominee
for the mayor,
for mayor of Owl City.
Great. It's honestly so helpful when we name the episode early on.
Yeah.
Who's your nominee for the mayor of Owl City?
The owl from Animal Crossing.
Oh, Blathers. Or Celeste.
Blathers is
I love the I love it. Anyway, that's it. Great nominee.
Blathers is the museum curator. Blathers' sister Celeste, who runs the
beautiful name.
Gift shop in some versions and other shops.
Derived from celestial, which means of the stars, of the heavens.
Great job. The only other, there's got to be more owls than this, but I was just thinking of Owl from Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time that turns its head upside down.
Well, what about any of the guardians of Gahool?
I don't give a fuck about a single one of the guardians of Gahool.
Well, that's not very nice of you.
I mean,
I didn't say it was... Zach, they're guarding Gahool.
Jessica? And I cannot stress this enough. All of Gahool can get banned.
Zach!
I don't know what it is.
Zach, that's a whole town. That's a
Are you
whole...
sure? Are you certain that it's a town?
I think it might be more than a town. I think it's a whole, country.
Gahool?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You gotta guard it, though, because people are constantly trying to get into
it. Yeah,
Gahool.
It seems really popular.
Listen, this is a... Prepare this for is
our,
this
here's our one-for-one recap of the plot of Guardians of Gahool. Now it...
Long ago, there were some owls and they lived in a harmony. Up in trees, you can see 1, 2, 3, the village spread. They had said, this is where we will live, and that is the way it went on and on and on. But then there were hawks who came and they flew, and they were not into the peaceful thing they do. So they stole that old tome, that ancient old book that the owl's magic with one piercing look. But the guardians rose to save Gahool. The guardians rose to save Gahool. Wing by wing and feather to feather, the brave soldiers stood. They stood together to
translates to Gahool. The guard and they, those hawks were their guardians as well. It's a different story based on whose perspective you tell. But they needed that book and its magical spells to protect the place that I said they were from.
And the guardians rose to guard Gahool.
And Gahawk. And Gahool. And Gahawk.
And the guardians rose.
On.
No, this is an old Celtic tale.
Just checking, the guardians rose to save Gahool.
And it was a stalemate of years past where war was on the ridge, where everyone was looking for a way to
Jack said this isn't an owl at all. It doesn't have magic, and also it's small. And the owl snuck in, and he stole the book back, and went back to terror. No. Okay, hold on. Side story. When they were talking about building a bridge, their neighbors in Terabithia knew just how that did. And the little owl did build a bridge to his land. And he walked on that bridge, magic book back in hand. But he walked right back to Gahool. And everyone there was like, cool. You saved us all, and our magic is back. And I'm sure now the Hawks will give up their attack.
A small guardian. Because the little owl knew how to say that this is the new page we turn today. Because the bridge through Terabithia goes also to Kahool. And there is one way we'll have this as just one rule. That we'll live together, the book for not one. And that's how the story is over, it's done. When I guard Kahool and Kahool.
And the bridge to Terabithia. Now, is Gahool the sound that owls make? We've been saying they say who, but do they say
Gahool?
Gahool.
We do, in fact, now have to look up the actual
plot of the Guardians of the
Galaxy. I was going to say, normally, like, for the record, I rarely follow all the verbal content that you guys are throwing out because I'm busy playing piano.
But that
I
feel time like, you were engrossed in the story.
Yes, that time I understood it perfectly is the end point of what I'm saying.
I almost forgot about that movie and how
there is actually an apostrophe in it, which is pretty cool. So it's based.
What is that? Where's the apostrophe?
G H apostrophe H O O L E.
It's a hool belonging to Gah.
Gah, yeah.
Okay.
Legend of the Guardians, Guardians of Gahool. So this is also a book series.
I'm unsurprised to learn that.
Okay. Guardians of Gahool is a fantasy book series written by Catherine Lasky and published by Scholastic. The series contains a total of 16 books. Okay.
I'm going to pause you really quick. Did you just say 16 books?
Yep.
16?
Man, Gahool must be getting attacked frequently.
The series follows the adventures of Soren, a young barn owl, for the first six books, but follows Nyrok, Soren's nephew, later named Corin, for books 7-8.
His name is less of a pun, but that's okay.
Okay, I need to just find the movie because I can't go through all of these.
Well,
okay,
can't or won't.
I mean, I can, but you know,
none of us want you to.
Okay. Legends of the Guardians: The Owls of Gahool is a 2010 3D computer animated adventure film directed by Zack Snyder.
Release the Snyder cut. First of all, shocked to learn that the movie is not called Guardians of Gahool.
I know. Legend of the Guardians, the Owls of Gahool.
It's called the Owls of Gahool.
In Legend of the Guardians, Soren, who loves listening to stories, is kidnapped and brought by the Pure Ones to St. Angela's Homes for Orphaned Owls, led by Metalbeak and Neera, where the owlets are brainwashed into becoming soldiers. Soren befriended Gilfy and later escape the facility to find the island of Gahool with newfound friends and together fight against an evil army.
So he does become a soldier.
Yeah.
Even though he was like, I got to get out of this soldier program.
Plot. Okay, Liz,
now,
fought against the evil pure ones.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. I want to make sure that you're on a mission here. So I want to make sure that you get the sort of closure that you need.
The plot description is really, really, really long.
Yeah. Everyone knows the synopsis should be the length of the script. That's how you don't miss anything.
I just like the start of this paragraph. The owls stay in the tree of Gahool for a long time.
Okay.
All right.
Now, there's a tree of Gahool. That's important information. Now, do you think at any point...
And Gahool is an island.
Gahool is an island and there's a big tree on it.
Yeah.
Do you think at any point Zack Snyder had the idea to be like, what if one of these owls was sitting on the edge of the tree? And the other owl was like, drop kicks that first owl right out of the tree and screams, this is Gahool. Or did he not do the movie The 300?
I think he did.
I think he did too.
I'm sorry. That I didn't know. I remember that quote. I don't think I've seen that movie.
The only important part of that movie is the man kicks a man into a well and shouts, "This is Sparta."
Gotcha. That's all.
You've matters. Now seen the movie.
I don't understand who the pure ones are.
Well, there's some Reddit threads that could sort of illuminate that for you, Jessica. But I recommend you stay away.
I feel like I thought they were like another type of bird, but I'm not getting a description of them. One second. I need to just close this because I feel like I remember them being hawks or something. I feel like I was pulling that from something.
No, that sounds right.
No, I hate when that happens. Sorry. Sorry. You can cut this, Brett. But you probably don't want to. Cause
wait. See, because it says the pure ones are the main antagonistic force in the movie, blah, blah, blah. They are founded on an ideology of Taito owl superiority, and their main goal is to
They're owl supremacists.
Okay.
Pure ones are owl supremacists.
They do, here's what I'll say, they do wear helmets.
Listen, if there is ever a visual descriptor of a bad guy, it's that all of them wear helmets.
Yeah, do you know what? Can I just give some love to Magneto? He's like the best villain.
He's great.
He's such a good villain.
He's a good villain because you understand it.
And yeah, he vacillates and he's compelling. Then
you're not going to hear an argument. You're not going to hear an argument for me that Magneto is a bad villain.
I don't need to argue. Everyone agree? He rules.
Here's a question.
Definitely vacillates.
Yeah, which is cool. I mean, like, yeah. I don't mean he's a good guy. I mean, he's a good character. He's a well-designed character who is then
You agree with everything he does.
Who is then additionally brilliantly acted by Ian McKellen. Like it's just such.
Oh, yeah.
That's such a good rendering of a villain.
I mean, are we talking like movie X-Men Magneto? Absolutely. Yeah. If we're talking like I'm 12 and I have a trading card of Magneto, I look at him and I go, okay, so you can move metal, and this guy can move anything with his mind. Eh. So
I like the limitation though of a superpower.
Yeah.
Like if it's just like everything goes, I like a good just magnet rule.
Yes.
I do too, but I do wish that every time Wolverine's claws came out because he says they hurt, if he yelled real loud owie.
Ouch.
I wish she did that.
All right, back. When I let my claws come out.
I wish he screamed owie. I wish that every time Magneto tried to pick up his cell phone, it like didn't work.
Yeah, definitely. Also, Michael Fassi as young Magneto. I mean, the whole presentation of Magneto.
I can't name a one bad Magneto actor.
Flaps. Michael Fassi giving me that Neato vibes. Yeah,
Michael Fassi.
Is that like the opposite of the Joker curse, where like if you play Magneto, you just become more well respected as an actor and like
He's great. Like sexy as hell.
He's extremely.
We get to
good
see
looking.
Him be a true good guy for like a whole movie, which is like
that's
pretty
right.
Dope.
Mm.
Love that. Also, who doesn't like a good guy, bad guy who used to be best friends and still sort of have love for each other?
Yeah, like they like touch sometimes.
Nothing. Yeah, like the hero and the villain. But on the DL, they bring each other's DMs. Monday through Friday, fight / destroy the world again. But come the weekend, the gauntlets are off. And so are the rest of their clothes.
Ooh, you can move anything with your mind. Why not try moving mine?
Move my body.
You can move anything with your mind. Why not try moving mine? Move my body.
Right now,
thinking,
let's get out of this war zone to a cozy little house.
Ooh, I'd like to be at a B&B, just you and me, see what we'll be. I hope there's no metal around. You can move things with your mind, why not try moving mine?
Move my body.
You can move
the breeze flow through your lack of hair.
They call you X, but there's no X on the list of things I want to do with you. If you want to do it too,
you can move things with your mind.
Why not try moving mine? Move my body.
Them. One who cannot be stopped, one who's blue, and one who's metal, getting up to all sorts of trouble.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Ready, set, Scott! Oh, I got him with the water in his hand.
Go, one-handed go, piano.
Go. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Go, go, wow. Go.
Welcome go, back. Go. Welcome back to Off Book the Improvised Musical Podcast, the fan band episode.
This is a party celebration song for an event that you've all had in your life, and it needs to be celebrated. So proud, we're going to throw a parade for you, and we're going to throw it loud. They said it couldn't be done, they said it was insane. You didn't hit
you did it.
Isn't it impressive when you do that going fast?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Do they don't always have bumps.
They don't always have bumps.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I was like, I feel like I'm not hitting bumps a lot.
No, but there are some lanes of a freeway that are delineated, probably on like long haul freeways when they want to make sure. Yeah. And I'm not talking about those outside of the freeway lines that make you wake up.
That makes you rumble.
When you're a truck driver and your workload is unreasonable.
The rumble,
and so
rumble.
You're falling, the rumble, rumble.
Do you remember the rumble pack?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the thing that you attach to your N64 controller that just like...
mildly vibrated.
Yeah.
I'd say not mildly. It was pretty intense, wasn't it?
It felt...
That was innovative. That was the first rumble.
Y'all thought that was intense. I guess I'm the only hardcore one here. Wow. Yeah. I guess out of the five of us, I'm the most hardcore.
I don't think it had like levels. It was basically just like insane shaking.
I didn't
off,
like it.
I
took
called.
It off.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't for every time.
I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah, it was just sometimes.
Changed the game.
Change the game.
We have Rumble ever since.
We've had Rumble ever since. Yeah. Now the PS5 controllers have what they call haptic feedback, which is like...
Just small, break that down for
small
me.
Rumbles. Small rumbles.
Break that down. What does haptic mean? What's the...
It's touch.
Here's the thing. Okay. I don't know, but let me tell you what it does.
Okay.
Touch. This would be the sort of thing where like if you are pulling a trigger to, let's say, blast off a spaceship.
I do that.
As you start to pull it, it rumbles a little bit, and the trigger gives you resistance so that like you feel the force of what you are trying to do.
That's fun.
It is a little bit. It's immersive in a small way.
It is good. You need some resistance.
I really am troubled by, I am cursed with a occasionally unintentional sarcastic tone.
I both saw that you were being sincere and knew what Scott was reacting to.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Scott, of all people, will understand the importance of resistance, as keyboards are sometimes built with absolutely no resistance.
You want those weighted keys,
right?
You
want those weighted keys. Weight is important.
You need the resistance, a little pushback, a little haptic touch. Don't you know about that?
Just like in Star Wars, the resistance is key. It brings so much to you, so much to me.
You can't go on without the weight. It's a weighted game. It's a weighted game. You can't go on without the weight. Come.
Took the crucible from good to great. Ooh. It's when Giles Corey says, more weight.
You know how I like a line not to be too quick. I need a look at the menu.
It's a waiting game. to your fro.
We made a good song, and it made us think the other ones were wrong.
that is the problem with doing it. Oh, sorry, Brett. What's up?
Oh, I'm just going to point out, this is probably not to anyone's taste, but in terms of resistance.
Are you about to say something really distasteful?
No. there's an artist who's almost like a...
Banksy.
Banksy. No, just kidding. His name is Author and Punisher, and he's like almost like a one-man band, but he's amazing because he builds all of these incredible contraptions that almost look truly painful. Like there's like a giant like metal cylinder that he has to rotate to make one of his sounds, and then he has like giant levers that he's like working to
yeah. seem like hard.
And it's all just to push, you know, like a button, like basically what Scott does. But there's something great about that, I think. Like he has like throat mics.
Oh my gosh.
And he makes so much like black metal music.
Like a performance art where it's like this music is made through struggle.
Right.
As opposed to what Scott does, which is bullshit and just pushes it. Right.
He's not even sweating.
Never seen Scott try.
Scott just sort of like shows up, plugs in his whatever,
and then presses a bunch of buttons.
Fucks around for an hour and a half.
It's just like a kid in an elevator. You know, he's just like, how about this one?
He's like,
this
we're not going to floor 7. He's like, well, I want to hit floor 7.
He's a regular elf.
Is that a scene from the movie Elf?
Yeah. Yeah. Will Ferrell gets in and he presses a button and he goes, ooh, like a Christmas tree. And then he presses them all.
As you do.
Look, I'd be lying if I didn't say like, I would love to have 4 people operating a bellows as I play.
Yeah.
And just do like some heavy industrial like levels of work. But
did you all?
Wait, you know what I just said? You know what I'd love to do? 4 other people do all the physical work for me.
You'd like to achieve that artistic thing that Brett was describing with the help.
Yeah. I'd like someone else to struggle so that my art is meaningful.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you all remember being pretentious?
Yeah, I think anyone that, I mean, like, certain,
you know, being 20?
Yes.
And being like, I just had like my mind expanded and I'm like, I'm beliefs-wise
pretentious, right?
Like, not necessarily beliefs, just like tastes and like feeling, starting to feel very adult and then having like a heightened understanding of how adult you are when you're still... Maybe not.
I have two somewhat disparate thoughts on this. One, specifically in college, when I feel like that's entering the age of when that starts to happen, my college improv team would like constantly make fun of things for being pretentious. I think that was my introduction like to the word. And so it was immediately flagged for me as a thing you did not want to do.
Oh, I feel like everyone I was friends with was extremely pretentious until we all like, were like, oh, this is exhausting. And then we grew out of it.
And the flip side was, I think that even in doing that, we ourselves were also pretentious. Now I will say, I'm about to throw shade at a very specific era of UCB shows. Anyone that came, this is actually, this is actually at UCB around 2010.
Hell yeah.
I feel like I came from, you know, Jess, you and I have theater degrees. So like we saw a lot of that college theater and we're in a lot of that college theater.
Yes.
A lot of people come to UCB, our improv theater, without those backgrounds.
Yes.
And so the theater is their place to like get the beginnings of that education. And I saw a lot of stuff at UCB where like people were older, post-college were like, and we're blowing your minds with like, this is, we're doing this. And we come out into the audience and we do like, that's a bad example, but like stuff was done at UCB as if it was like cutting edge art. And I'm like, y'all This is what every theater school is.
I'm just thinking, like, specifically, we were like, what if we raked the stage and we were barefoot and everything was a whisper? Yes. Like, it was, like, very pretentious.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just, you know, in, like, a cute little you're finding your way, not, like, not...
It also comes full circle because some of that stuff, like, in that setting is like, oh, they thought it was big at the time. And then it comes back, like... there are versions of that same thing that absolutely are mind-blowing in a theatrical sense.
Oh, of course. Like, it's not like there's no merit to it. It's just your self-aggrandized idea around your place in it is the pretentious part.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'll drag myself. The most pretentious thing
I
can remember myself okay, so my senior year, me and three friends did a road trip to Minneapolis to go to Kushnerfest at the Guthrie.
That's a sentence.
That's not even the most pretentious part. So the first night he was workshopping a production there that he ended up, I guess, like a sort of abandoning, which was called The Intellectual Homosexual's Guide to the Universe with a focus on capitalism and socialism or something like that.
Great.
And it was sort of like, it was sort of an August Osage County vibe, like family all takes place in a house, three acts, you know, a lot of big ideas. I remember liking it. And then the next day, we saw Caroline Interchange, which is incredible.
Yes.
But I literally said to my friends at intermission, one of the two intermissions in the long, long play, I'm so glad I'm smart enough to understand this. And that's one of those sentences that haunts me.
Yeah.
I feel like,
what a little twerp.
I feel like I was like in my three quarters of my year were like basic ass, like small town upbringing, which, like, you know, there were like cultured people within that, but it was like pretty basic and whatever. But then going to camp, which I've talked about before on this podcast, the kids were all from New York City, super, like, I mean, super cultured and like well-versed, but within that, like, you know, specific kids were extremely pretentious, and they were like 12. It was like 12 and 13, so you had like these absolute savants, like music savants, then being like blah, 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 like just whatever. And then now I look back being like basically
that's what you sound like when you're pretentious and you're 14. Okay, sorry. It's called the Intelligent Homosexual's Guide to Capitalism and Socialism with a Key to the Scriptures. And I love Tony Kushner, and like, and I still think that it is cool to see complicated plays, but the sentence is so ridiculous.
I think it's great that you were smart enough to understand that.
I think you were so smart enough.
But I also probably didn't understand it. You know, there's probably tons of stuff that got past me. And also, like, I don't think a play should just be like dense ideas.
You also have to imagine that plays like that sort of self-correct in their audience for what they're going to get out of it. Like, I think there's the person that you are imagining not understanding that play is likely not at that play.
That's true.
I know, but that now I've come all the way around where I'm like, then what is this for? Like, what is this sort of like?
And that's fair.
This like
that is where theater gets up its own butt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, what is this like for nobody stuff? But I don't think that about Tony Kushner. He's a genius. Look,
he listens to every episode, so we need to make this clear.
You know that I've met him because he married my friends. And
both of them?
He married both. He's in a
polyamorous relationship.
As English speakers all just invent a word for that isn't also marry?
Like, he officiated their wedding.
It's not as fun.
I know.
Yeah,
and it was truly insanely beautiful, the things that he said. But where I was coming from this in the first place is, sorry, this is just me really rambling about myself. But when you're talking about that artist, Brett, it made me think of going to museums at that age and really trying to pretend that you like it all and being like, I have to like all this art because I want to be seen as like smart and I need to like this art so I can be smart. And I went, I went to this museum with two of my friends, in Berlin, and they were having the special exhibit of the time. They're like rotating exhibit was called Pain. And I was just like, I remember feeling, just because it was like far enough along in the trip, I felt comfortable enough with them to be like, this sucks. this is terrible and this is nothing. There was one of the like displays was going into a room with a terrible sound.
Right.
And they were both trying to be like, I don't know, it was kind of interesting. And I was like, no. No, it's terrible.
Like
I don't want to go into a room where it's just a terrible sound.
This is my cold take on what's wrong with Sleep No More.
Right.
There's like parts of Sleep No More are fantastic. Like for those of you that don't know, Sleep No More.
Dana has a ramp up sound. Oh
yeah, you're hitting her right between the eyes.
You
right?
love Sleep No More so much.
I do so love much. Sleep No More so
There's
much.
There's a lot about Sleep No More that I think is really like. For those of you that don't know, Sleep No More is a basically like walk through immersive production of Hamlet question mark.
It doesn't matter.
Art. And you there's like four floors and you can explore and there's like quests that you can do if the right actor gives you the right thing. And on paper, it is exactly the kind of thing that I'm 100% down for. I think the production of it is amazing. But at its core, what it actually is, a lot of the time, is watching people do interpretive dance in various places.
Yeah.
I liked it. And actually, I feel like that I'm somebody who would be like, I get what they're trying to do and it's like a little annoying, but I feel like that because I've gone twice and I feel like that I did just sort of like, I like the idea of being like, you get split up from like people that you've come with. It's a very like solo experience. You lean into it. I got pulled into like a weird little room and had like a
where
little
like a man gave you a
somebody.
Kiss or something. That's how.
Okay. No,
Sleep
no,
no,
no the man didn't give me a kiss. There, there is a woman
Dana?
That there is a woman that I know would pull men and give them kisses, but I did get pulled in. I don't remember. It's like a tiny room.
She was the only one in this room.
Then,
she definitely got a kiss.
And then
no one else would know except for
Dana. I was like, and I was like, this is really immersive and cool to me. No, I did not get kissed, but I got into a cool little weird room. I don't know, but I get what
it's
you're
like
saying.
A
I get what you're saying.
Sober peyote trip.
All of that is cool.
Theater kids.
My biggest here's my pro strat guide to Sleep No More. Here's the things you need to know. One, it cycles. So like you can follow one person for a whole hour. It's 3 hours long. But if you jump from thing to thing, you may never see one continuous loop. And they don't tell you that going in. Two, a man might not pull you into another room. That might be an experience
That's
that someone
true.
Else has there that you never have.
You have to lock eyes with them and then they see you.
Which is hard to do through the masks that everyone is wearing.
I think I would get pulled. I always get pulled to be magician's assistants.
See?
It's the most pretentious thing you've ever seen.
Well, it beeped.
Why did it beep? Is it done?
It was tired of that story.
Fair enough.
It just does that at an hour for some reason.
Oh.
And the listeners beep, won't beep. Hear it. Yeah.
Oh, listeners.
Can you put a beep in for them?
Yeah. I could do that.
That feels great.
Listeners, tell
good.
Us if Brett actually put a beep in.
Yeah, let us know. I feel like...
Send us the comments if you like the beep.
Oh, my other... Not... Blah, blah, blah. If you go to Sleep No More, do the earliest show, go at 7, like get there at 7, and then do... like don't just follow one person, like run around, then you can actually like get the whole thing. You're never going to get the whole thing in one chunk.
Never. You have to come back multiple times.
They want you to come back so many times.
You gotta sleep some more like it.
Sleep some more.
Oh, and there's a nude person. There's nude people.
First thing I saw.
Great.
Got off an elevator, 3 nude people and 1 person wearing like a demon head. Listen, Sleep No More is cool.
It is cool though. And you can see an exorcist.
Listen, it's cool.
I think it's cool. It's a little pretentious to say it's not cool. That's my hot take.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Because
it's not cool.
Because I don't know for normal people how many experiences there are like that. Or like, I'd never been to something like that. But
normal people.
You know, but for
Sally
not,
Rooney's
like,
book, Normal People?
Yeah.
That's the most pretentious thing I've said. Wait for me.
Now, here's another thing that's the opposite of what we're talking about.
Me randomly singing a song from Hadestown?
No.
Okay.
That is great.
Yeah.
So Taco Bell and Cheez-Its are doing a collab.
Oh, yeah. Tostada.
I want one.
They're doing 2. My friends drove there because it's only at the Irvine Test Kitchen.
Okay, I knew because I tried to look to see if it was out and it was
and
not out.
And they don't seem to be doing a greater rollout, which is a national
Wait, really?
Shame.
And I never even got a Mexican pizza.
They're still there.
They're still getting it.
Well, every time you go, you'll go, and there'll be a sign that's like, we're out of Mexican pizza.
Yeah.
There'll be more.
Ever had the Frito burrito?
Have you ever had a Frito burrito flying in the sky? Have you ever had that burrito? So have I. Have you ever seen a Cheeto be the base of a snack? Have you ever had that Tostito? You're coming back. And there'll be me making something out of beans. And there'll be me.
What song is this?
It's from The Wrestler.
Okay.
No, I thought you knew. No, I thought you were finding it. I was like, I can't change key.
I thought you were just doing like Neil Diamond.
If I change key, we'll be forever lost. Have you ever seen a one-legged dog? No?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've seen a three-legged dog.
A one-legged dog.
Have you ever seen a three-legged dog? Have you ever seen it's Bruce Springsteen. It's that movie, The Wrestler. I think the song's called The Wrestler. I think it won best song at
Mickey
the Oscars.
Rourke.
Mickey Rourke.
Yes.
Yeah.
He looks like busted.
Have you ever seen a one-legged dog, three-legged dog? Then you've seen me. And then the chorus is like, and you've seen me. Okay. Here's another great movie song. Any of the songs from Crazy Heart? What about those? Jeff Bridges.
Those are very
good. Ryan Bingham, who's in Yellowstone. Okay, great. These are just for me.
I feel like I met Ryan Bingham.
I met him too at the airport. I scared him. I was going through security next to him and I was like, you're really good.
And he screamed in his face.
He really went like, oh, yeah, thank you so much. That's really kind of you. I'm like, so you're great on the show, but your music is really incredible. He's, oh, appreciate it.
He went,
and then he went, wow.
He screamed.
TSA. All right. We got to close this out with one more song. None of these half measures that I'm throwing out like my pretentious self. I am and was pretentious. I own it. I work on it.
Listen.
No.
You can't have your nose up in the air.
I think you got to enjoy what you enjoy.
Thank you so much, but I definitely used to be way more. But I feel like that's a very common 20-year-old thing.
I do think, like, pretentiousness aside, I think young 20s in college specifically know more than a lot of people. They actually do, and that should be respected a little bit.
Oh. Whoa!
Because if you're just out of a great course and like you paid attention and you learned a lot of stuff.
This is the sweetest take I've ever heard.
You that's know so more about
really,
that.
You're defending the, I mean, yeah, I think that's really sweet.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I don't even mean it to be sweet.
Like I think it's,
your brain is fresh and alive.
I agree with you. And I think that if you're just out of college, you sort of have the long game in mind. More. I mean, like if you imagine that we replaced every single politician we had right now with 22-year-olds who were just out of college, we would have a radically different system that I think in many ways would be much better than the system
if they had like just come out of economics or something and like still remembered how it all worked. I think a lot of people just forget the specifics.
No, there's another
and they
half
forget
of it.
What it means to be an expert on something.
Whoa, Brett. Like, Brett needs to talk on the mic.
I just remember I remember one of the lessons, even if you don't remember everything, is just remembering how much people do know about that. Like how high you can go in a subject that just completely melts your brain. And a lot of people just are going on gut feelings about stuff and they're stupid.
You're right.
You?
And now to do something that we just go off our guts.
I said that on it.
No.
Like people who improvise in their lives are fucking stupid.
You know advanced techniques, though.
We have no sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Is gone. We know full well what we're doing. We know it's the silliest.
No, I see
you could teach
saying.
Full courses on it.
I think it depends on like what you're majoring in and also like where you go. Not to say like you can't get a good education, like this is not like about like deep academics, but like, I feel like Emerson, great school if you want to go work in entertainment, like the second you graduate. I made a lot of like dioramas as like a 20-year-old. So like in terms of like classes, it was like derpy.
Yeah, my later theater classes were like, well, this is
like
I'm literally
not
playing games. I'm playing games.
Yeah, I was like, this is.
But I do think about some of that stuff a lot still. You're right, Brett. And
but in many ways, a diorama is the height of learning. And
really
is the height of
is.
Human achievement.
Yep.
Because what is a diorama but a perfect encapsulation of a bigger thing in a more digestible form that you made to your own
specification? That you made.
The world is wide. Some would say too big for the human mind to comprehend. But what if we took what we know, honestly, all of it, and made it small?
Focus in, take a better look. Put little figurines in a scene from that recent book.
If you don't have the right figurines, the dinosaur is fine. Put a little hat and it's yours and it's mine. And we'll pretend that he's a person of the time. That you read, I love the blue dolphins. I'm gonna need you to make a scene and gonna put it all in, from the water to the otters. Were there otters? Well, now there's otters. I love those tiny otters you made.
So take the shoebox from your brother's new soccer cleats and put the lid on the bag. Now it's complete.
On the bag now.
Thank the bag for extra credit to show the Adidas goodbye. Show me that you try.
Show me that you try.
About getting that gel toothpaste. Oh, this trick is so great, 'cause it looks like water.
And who'd have guessed that if you just glue down sand, it looks just out there, just take a step back and look at the beautiful life you've made for yourself.
Put it in a tiny box if that makes it easier to see.
That's your diorama.
That's your diorama. Give it up for Scott Passarella, King of Pianists, Pianist of Kings.
Give it up for Brett Morris, that feeling when the chord hits, take it to the chorus.
Give it up for Dana Wickens, the boom in the room, sitting on the throne that is a cajon. And as we say at the end of every episode of Off Book,
if your hoot 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 is very pretty,
then you might be the mayor of Owl City.
Bye. Go-hoo.